And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you would. And perhaps we can look to the Lord, our Father and God, as we have opened thy word. We want to be able to capitalize on today, to capitalize today in the light of yesterday, in the light of what lies ahead. And our Father will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And since it is Memorial Day, then we want to remember, what are we supposed to be remembering? Or what are we supposed to be knowing? So therefore, if you would keep in mind just some basic things, remember in Genesis 3 and 15, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and that sets the pace for all time. There's the believers and the unbelievers. Christ is going to go to the cross to save all whosoever's that would believe. And the whosoever's that don't want to believe are going to rebel against it all the way, even into the millennium, where they will rebel as the sand of the sea. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, so what do we look for? We aren't looking for peace. There is no peace. There isn't any. So history is all about war. Light and darkness, good and evil, right and wrong. It's all about Adam, who gets us into trouble with our old sin nature. And our old sin nature is against God, doesn't want to know God, honor God. And God wants to save us in spite of our old sin nature. And therefore we need to believe. Now the conflict, then the contest between our old nature and the new, and Christ's saving grace, I should say. So God is going to go and do his wonderful thing, but it's always being opposed, so there's always war. Hang on to that. Now, to see it. And you will know here is Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything, and time to be born, verse 2, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Now, to jump around. Now, and when you come to verse 8, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he labored? In other words, you have it on the one hand, and then you don't have it. You're healthy, and then you're not healthy. Easy, the weather, easy. The weather is one thing, and then the weather's another thing. You don't control it. They don't control anything. Everything has its opposite, and it keeps occurring. A time of peace and a time of war just keeps going. There's no end to it. No, there isn't any end. It's war. Hang on to that now. So having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and go over, if I can, to pick up in the light of the war in which we're in, what we just said in the light of our old nature, go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, if you would. Oh, and before you do that, did you turn already? You're so fast. Back to Ecclesiastes. I didn't mean to jump that fast. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The point of having and not having. Why does this exist? and it does exist. Therefore, chapter 3, Ecclesiastes, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, purpose, that men should fear before him. And we can keep reading Ecclesiastes. God doesn't give you, no matter what you think you have, it disappears and something replaces it over and over again. Why? If you're trying to live your earthly life apart from God, that's how you see it. You have to include God. And God makes it like this, so you can't enjoy your health because you're going to get sick. You can't do this. You can't do that. 1 minute you got it, the next minute you don't. Why? When you think you got it, you don't got it. God, so that you pay attention. You can't have earthly existence and enjoy its purpose apart from God. You have to know the Lord God as your Savior in order to get to understand and put the pieces together. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, open to 1 Peter, as you would know. And in 1 Peter, in chapter 2, and you would recall, I'm going straight in the light of the context. Chapter 2, 1 Peter, if I can, in verse 10, in which in time past we're not a people, that's us guys, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. And therefore, knowing and putting God in his right place in our heart, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from all fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You got a war. The war is in your heart. That's where the war is. Where does war? Over to James. Well, no, before you do that, to connect this, what we just read, war against your soul. Soul. Chapter 4. And chapter 4, verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For in time past, our life may, for in the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, wine, excess wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. In other words, the lust of desire of your heart. It's there. Now, to put that a little better, over to the book of James, just ahead of that. And in James, and chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, you'll remember, verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not thence, even of your lust. Lust, the war. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. The lust, it's a war. It's a war in your heart. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not thence, even of your lust, that war in your members. Eyes, ears, nose, throat, your old sin nature. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Verse 3, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it in your own lust. You don't have God's will and God's glory in mind. Verse 4, ye adulteresses and adulteresses, Know you not that friendship of the world is enmity, hostility, is an enemy, is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So it's war. It's just a war. And where's war come from? That's in your heart. In your heart, and you have to overcome and understand you have to get saved because your old nature does not want to be saved. So therefore, God tells us, you know, in Matthew 24 and that, there's wars and wars and wars and wars and more wars. And when you read chapter 4, going into the tribulation and the wars, and there's still more wars. We aren't finished with the wars, not yet. Now, and to know it's there without any question, go with me over to Revelation 19 for a moment. And here's our Lord making it very clear. So there's not even a question. Chapter 19, as you would know. In chapter 19, picking up by me, in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and I behold the white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he rightly, he doth judge and make war. So, here we are looking in this war. So, when we look at human history, we don't look for peace, we look for war. We understand this war. Your old nature, what do we tell? So your old nature is what? At war. Your human nature, your body that you live in, is at war. And in the process, as long as you're winning the war, we call it health. When you're losing the war, we call it sickness. There's a war, the good guys, the bacterias, and all of that. All of that in your heart, right now as you sit there, are fighting a war. There's a war in your heart right now. Right now. And as long as the good bacteria, etc., is winning, you feel healthy. But the minute the bad guys start winning, you get sick, don't you? And there is no stopping of this. 24 hours a day, day and night, you're at war. And you're either winning or losing. There is no peace in your mind, in your body. You're at war. And as long as the good stuff is winning, you go, all right, you're healthy. But when it starts losing, you get sick and you aren't healthy anymore. And you die, et cetera, et cetera. So looking at that and keeping that in mind, now, having that in mind, if you would. Now, the heart needs to know God. We're at war, and we need to be at peace with God. Back years and years ago, back when, and Christ died to give us, to bring us to peace, to bring us to truth, to bring us to life. Now, in the church, they go through church history, the Middle Ages, etc., and you do all that. And when you do all that, what do you got? Well, you get, here's the days of the pilgrims, and here's the politics, here's the religions, politics, religions, and both of them are at each other's throat in one way or another. They're in cahoots with each other, like that also, like that. And they all are keeping what? The Bible closed. The Bible isn't open. They need to know the truth. Religion up to here. But no, you don't. We need, and people were reading. They could do it. Instead, Luther and all of them, looking to what? We need to understand. God has given us a wonderful truth to set us free from this war, to give us peace in our heart, which we don't have. And so here they are working. And so the pilgrims back then, they got the message. And they were politics and religion. They got on a boat and came over. Why? They were looking to get free, to be able to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what they were came for, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So the pilgrims crossed in the over to what? In order that they might find peace and truth. And in the process, in doing all that, and they had what we had to do, we had war. And war came along with the British King George and that didn't want them to have. They wanted them to have the government, the system. They wanted that system continued in these United States. But we didn't want a king. We didn't want a king. We didn't want to be under the king. We wanted to be under God. And ended up 1700s. We had the Revolutionary War. And the Revolutionary War came along and was very costly, the Revolutionary War. And in the process, we had the Declaration of Independence. And the Declaration of Independence was written in a most wonderful way. So what? That we could have the understanding that God was to be our boss. The Declaration, and I just have a copy just to show you. You know from Congress and all these things, they have literally thousands of pages when they have a bill. They have a bill, they tell you there's a bill, and they got thousands of pages you'd have to read. And I'm sure no one reads them all. I just couldn't. You don't have enough time. Here in this little book is the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of these United States. This little book, right here. We have the Declaration because of the Revolutionary War. And the Declaration makes us unique. We're the only country in all of history that has this. There is no other country in all of history, including Israel, that has this. A declaration. People came over to what? We wanted to be able to seek God and to know God. Not everyone, but that was the main thrust of why they came. Now, and therefore as they came, they did that. And King George didn't want them to go that way. So in the process, they had the Revolution and the Declaration. And in the process of all of that, it took war. And then came 1881. Then came the Civil War. And the Civil War was now a war. Now remember the Declaration, and you know what? Second paragraph, we hold these truths. Underline. We hold these truths in the book. What are they doing? They're caught up in the God's word. Not the whole north from north to south. They're called 13 colonies. They're caught up in the book, in God's word. And in the process of being caught up in that book, they're hearing the Bible, just like you and I are looking at it. We're looking at it. They were looking at it. They were listening to it. It's influencing them. And that's why you have these truths. That's what it says. These truths. What truths? They came out of this book. We'll go look at it in a minute. In the process. And so God in his wonderful, wonderful grace allowed the Civil War took place. First war, revolution, to get rid of the King George. The Civil War, because we had this Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, so therefore slaves have to be free. We can't have slavery. You can't have it. It's a Constitution. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's for everybody, citizens, etc. Now, having said that, He gave me that in mind. So the Civil War came. And the Civil War, a costly war. It was the most costly war in all of history for us. Over 500,000 men and women died, North and South, because it's North and South. It really clipped a big hunk of our population back then, 300. The next war, of course, the Second World War, is 400,000 something. That was the next highest, all the rest to go to less. But here's the Civil War. And what do they do? Well, we had the Civil War, and we were fighting, and of course, the war ended. And in Gettysburg and all of these different things. And therefore, they went and did what? Well, they went and had formed. They went and had all those things. And in 1868, John Logan came along. And John Logan came along as a representative. I'll read that part of it. On the grave said, John Logan, the commander of the chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, of the Republic. I pledge allegiance to the flag, etc. To the Republic. Do you remember? You'll never hear it. When do you hear the Republic? We pledge allegiance to the flag of the Republic of these United States. We aren't a democracy. We're supposed to be a republic. And remember, we've said this over the years. In your Constitution and Declaration, you will not find the word democracy. They hated it. They didn't want to have democracy. They wanted to have a republic. But it's long gone, isn't it? Long gone. They hated democracy. Now, so therefore, and that makes us special again. What country in the world is seeking to present liberty to its inhabitants? Liberty, not the system. Liberty, freedom. It'll be hard to find, isn't it? Hard to find it. God did this for us. A little space in the middle of all the wrong stuff. God let America become America in a most wonderful way. To be a light, to be demonstrate the wonderful what opportunity to enjoy God and His Word. That's why we have it. So therefore, in the process, here's John Logan. And in 1868, in that, they had a memorial in the process for the armed forces, not only just this is for the Confederacy, but then for later with Gerald Ford for all the country. And back then with John Logan, finishing that. For, he said, quote, for the purpose, this special day, Decoration Day, for the purpose of strewing flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country, in defense of the country it cost. Memorial Day says that the men paid a price and they died. They died. Why did they die? To give us a wonderful, wonderful life in a wonderful, wonderful way. That's why they died. They didn't die just to die. Second World War, etc. That didn't die. They just didn't die. They gave themselves, often young people, they gave themselves to what? For life, for liberty, for this book. That's why they died. They didn't die so you could have more pizza next week. They died so that you could possess this truth. That's why they died. That's what Memorial Day is about. They died for you to have this. Where is this? It rests on God's word. Do you understand? The Declaration is out from what? Judeo. We aren't really a Jewish country. It's there because where do they get the Constitution and Declaration? From the Word of God. The Word of God is all about the Jewish Israel and the church. And that's why you call it, we are a Judeo-Christian. It isn't because we're Jewish. It's because of the Bible, where you got the where you got your constitution. That's why you have it. So we're looking to God, the God of Israel and the God of the church. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so in the process, God, and what are you going to do with the second paragraph? I'll read that second paragraph. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain, unalienable, with evidence of all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what a second paragraph. That's what it's all about. All about. And you know, if all the people, if you don't have a caught up, memorial doesn't even mean anything. This doesn't mean anything without God. And they said it, Franklin, all of them. Jefferson, you can't have this book. This book was written for a people that were immoral and wanted to know God. And if you don't want to know God, you don't need the book. And we got a world now, immigration, which is a wonderful tool of the devil to want to take away the people don't know Memorial Day, liberty. They aren't understanding what they ought to be possessing. They ought to have a wonderful, wonderful, not just to be able to go to the grocery store, not just to own your own home, to own your own car, not just that, but to be able to sit like we are and know God in a real and wonderful way. That part's missing. That part isn't there. They got all kinds of cultures, backgrounds, religions, but not that. So you wanted to fix it. I tell you, we're looking at God being gracious to us in the days ahead and grant us, like in Ezra, grant us a little bondage, grant us a little grace in our bondage, in our problems, and help us. To what measure God will do that, I don't know. But I do know God tells us clearly it isn't going to go that way because there's always war until the final battle, Revelation 19, when the world turns around as in unity and shakes their fist at God, and he comes. He said, I'll take care of it. But it's war. It's war. So don't say we can't. We have to fight Iran. We have to do it with the bad guys. You can't have atomic bombs and stuff. You can't do that stuff. We can, and we do it, and we should do it. And all the men that fought, and wars, all the wars we fought, have been wise enough. And you remember now, so many little things. You can't have peace. War, you can't have peace without victory. You have to have victory. There is no middle. It's always war until you have victory. You must have victory to win. So that's why you know with all these little things. Romans chapter 8, we're sheep for the slaughter. But know this, verse 37, I have made you more than conquerors. You have the victory. While you're losing, you're never losing. While you're being beaten up, you're never being beaten up. You're a winner, no matter how they cut the cookie. You're a winner. You can't lose. I want to be a light in the darkness. The darkness hates the light. It hates the light. Doesn't want to know light. So God, we got to have victory. You got to have victory. You know, victory, the enemy's still there. If you don't get rid of the bad guy will keep going up your arm. Gangrene, etc. You got to cut it. You can, oh, I'm going to leave a little bit. Don't leave a little bit, because it'll keep going. You got to get it. So now, and a lot of that we're wondering, and I didn't. Now, keep that in mind. So we hold these truths in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to know God and to honor God. Now, what truths? In order to see, if make believe you're Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, and make believe you're that, and here's our group, and here we are in our country, 13 colonies, and what are we hearing when we go to church? We're hearing the Bible in some form or fashion wherever we go. It's understood. Understood. The church, all the colleges, Yale, Harvard, Dartmouth, they're all Christian to start. All about growing for believers to go and become strong believers. That's how they started. They didn't stay that way, but that's how they started. It's all about being Christian, knowing the Lord as your Savior. And therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful kindness and way, what did they learn? Over, if you would please, to the Gospel of John for a minute. And just to see what they would know. And in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1. So if you were back then, and here's King George doing what he's doing, there's a word. We hold, second paragraph, we hold these truths. All right. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we look to God in Christ, we're seeing the truth. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So God, we're looking to you and your word in your most wonderful, wonderful way. So God, over if we can, turn your page, over to the Gospel of John, etc. And in the Gospel of John, picking up verse 23, Gospel of John, chapter 4:23. Gospel of John 4:23. For the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In truth. The truth. The truth will set you free. The truth. Don't you want to know what's true? I don't know. We've got all kinds of things we think about. But when you really think, what is the truth? Think of Pontius Pilate. Over, if you can, chapter 18, the Gospel of John. And you will note John chapter 18. And Christ before Pontius Pilate. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness. What are you bearing witness to? The truth, the God of truth. So if you were back then, and you knew what everything was in the background of Europe and all of that, what I'm reading, we need to know the truth. Truth. What is really true? That's what I want to know. Otherwise, it's all dream and make-believe. It'll never happen. I want to know the truth. Pilate, verse 38. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault at all. There's no problem with this man, but you're going to crucify him anyway. So the truth. And Rome, as you know, Rome had all the idols and all the religions. They're all there. All the thinkers and you think about and you feel and you're trusting. I said, is it true? I said, well, no. If it isn't true to know the truth. Not a lot of stuff about everything. No, I want to know, is it true? Yeah. And on, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. No one can ever get there except by me. I'm the truth. Yeah. So God now, looking and keeping all of that in mind as we think about it, and over if we can, and since I just, you're not far away, go just a couple of pages over, John chapter 14. And I just quoted John 14:6. But look, if you would, at John and chapter 14. Now, God, you're going to help us understand the truth. And therefore, John chapter 14, God is going to send the Father and the Son are going to send the Spirit of God. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why not? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And chapter 16, and chapter 16, and in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, but he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So he's going to show you the truth. Now, if you were born, you're getting this for hundreds of years, up to 1776, and you're getting it. This is where they are. It isn't our world now. It was then. It was then. So they wanted the truth. That's why you have the Constitution. That's why you have the Declaration. That's why it's written. Because they know the truth. But we're going to put the book aside. We don't care about the book. But God's still there. The God who made, was a motive, the God who motivated this book is right in front of us. We're in his presence. So we may not know the book, may not ever see the book, and they're going to get rid of the book. But you can't get rid of God. You can't get rid of God. You can't get rid of him. No. So therefore God, over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And you recall, where are we headed? So you know, 2 Thessalonians, if I can. And 2 Thessalonians, picking up, please, in verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, that's the Antichrist, with power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because, why are they dying in their sins? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know. They don't want to know. For this cause, verse 11, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a falsehood. Verse 12, that they all might be damned, judged, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, to know the truth, and the truth would make you free. But you don't, Romans, John chapter 8, if I may, John 8, And verse 32, you don't have to turn there. The truth will set you free. So now, here comes our declaration again. And when we come to the end of the declaration, when we come to the end of it, you know it's what it says. It is in reliance on God, his protection, his providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor in reliance on God's wonderful protection and divine providence. We're trusting God. That's what we're doing. And someone's going to pay. You're going to pay the war, Revolutionary War. Yeah. But you know what? We were willing to go Second World War. Lined up the next day, Monday. Sunday, President said the end of World War. Monday, they line up. They line up to what? To sign up. What are they doing? To protect what? Our rights. To be able to live and eat and come and go and believe. We want the freedom. The truth gives us freedom to be able to grow and develop. The system, communism, socialism, Marxism, all the junk that's out there now, it's crazy. That doesn't give me freedom. That's slavery. I don't want that. So therefore, back then, they went to war. And many died. They died for what? So that you and I could stand here and have this. That's why they died. You wonder what Memorial Day is? So you can have this. You have the Bible that's in your hand. To have that Bible. It's a wonderful thing. And God, in his most wonderful way, does that. So now, remembering those who died while they served. And they never went home. They died in the battle. Remember the over there in Normandy. In Flanders, I should have brought out the poem. In Flanders field, the poppies grow. In Flanders field, the poppies grow. Yeah. One big field of burial. 2,000, I forget how many are in it. Grave. Yeah. There they are. Just buried. Yeah. Therefore, now God, what have I got? I said, do you got a little bit of what you have? Freedom. What's this going to do to bring us to the book? And that Christ did what? He went to the cross and died. Didn't he? How are we going to have this book, the truth? He went to the cross and died. He died. Why did he die? Is it worth dying? To be able to have God's word. To be able to have this book. That's why they died. They just didn't die. They died for something. And what can we do to honor them? Is go to the book. Go to this. I know you need, this is what we need. Not likely. But we got God's word. So thank God you can open your Bible and read it in the presence of God and understand, God, thank you that I have this book. That's why America is America like no other country in all the world. It's meant to what? Be an example that people and men and women, boys and girls might know you. So God, you paid the price, an awful price, for us to be able to sit and say these few words together. Privilege. There's parts of the world you would never get away with this. You'd get away with religion, but not this. Remembering. Just have a thought. This Memorial Day coming up. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness, for your grace. God, we don't understand it all. God, they paid the price. And way beyond that, you paid the price to go to Calvary's cross, that we could possess, that we could know the truth, and the truth would set us free. So God, the best thing we can do to honor the men and women who paid is to honor the declaration and the truths and to honor your word. And the only way we're going to honor you, God, is to enjoy and practice being saved, to exercise a wonderful relationship to your awesome person. And God, help us to do so even now. In Christ's name, amen.